Hello, and thank you so much for tuning in to Stable Connections, the podcast. Today's episode is with Hannah Beebe, and she chats with us about how and why she started her photography business, moving her family to Auburn, California, and managing her daughter's food allergies. Hope you enjoy. Stable Connections is sponsored by Fresh Sonoma. Fresh Sonoma delivers high-quality fresh forage to horses in the Sonoma County area, offering sprouted barley fodder as well as sprouted alfalfa fodder. Schedule a barn visit to learn more about these nutritious feeds and how they can support your horse's health and happiness. Visit freshsonoma.com to learn more. Stable Connections is sponsored by Horse on the Loose. Horse on the Loose is a Los Angeles-based equestrian brand featuring accessories for the stylish equestrian. All of their artwork is created by sisters Andra and Roxana, who are passionate about all things equestrian. Find designs with a modern aesthetic on their Made in America throw blankets, belts, hats, and riding socks. Visit www.horseontheloose.com to see what they have to offer. So how did horses come into your life?
Well, my mom would take me and my brother to Western Farms Supply in Santa Rosa to get, I think we had bunnies at the time, so bunny food or a cat food, and I'd always see the bulletins on the bulletin board for different riding places, and I begged my mom for, I don't know how long, a couple years probably, to let me ride. And eventually I did. She started taking me to lessons and I'd go once a week. I was about 7 or 8 years old. So the first horse I ever rode, her name was Amore. She was a gray Arabian and she was very stubborn. She did not want to go. And I remember lots of tears, but
some learning experiences.
Yeah, for sure.
And at the time, some kids have this where you're like, I want to be a professional rider. I want to be a trainer, a vet. Did you have any of those ideas?
No, not at all. I think before I started riding, I wanted to be a jockey just because that was the only job I knew that had to do with horses. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you're not short.
No, that never would have panned out for me. But I just loved riding, but I didn't have any goals yet.
And you started with English?
Yes.
Okay. And did you ever switch to Western or do anything else?
I owned a Western saddle. Ooh. I don't know.
But no specific training.
No Western training. No, I trail rode a lot and I went to one barrel race in my lifetime. Yes, just one.
Ah. And so middle school, high school still had horses in your life? Still in Sonoma County?
Mm-hmm. I bought my first horse when I was 15. My parents wanted to make sure I stuck with it and that I could have a job to help pay. So I worked in exchange for board. He was 5 when I bought him. I still have him. He's a pasture ornament now.
Yep.
But I did stick with it. When I had kids, I did take quite a bit of time off, though.
Did you go to shows and stuff as well growing up?
I did, yeah. Before high school, I did show dressage a little bit, like first level. But I was never really drawn to competing. I like to learn and I like to go to clinics and I love to ride, but I was never driven in the competitive way. And I'm still that way. Like, I will go to a show or two, but it's mainly just to see if I've improved and where I need to work on. I have no desire to go out there and get medals.
You started dressage, it sounds like, at a young age,
mm-hmm.
which is uncommon. So how did that get into your kind of view?
I think I pretty much have always done dressage. Like I said, I tried to do the cowgirl thing a little bit, but I really like structure and wearing my helmet. So I was never...
Structure and wearing your helmet.
I was never really able to let that part of me go.
Mm-hmm.
So dressage came in when I started riding Cynthia Hall's horses because I didn't have any horses of my own. So I worked for her in exchange for riding her horses.
So that was before 15 years old. So that was 12. Middle school.
Yeah, 12, yeah.
Right before high school. So when you did get your first horse, what do you feel like was the hardest thing about it?
Well, it was such a long search. I spent so much time looking at different horses, and I knew exactly what I wanted, and it was really hard to find a horse that lived up to that.
What were the things you wanted?
Well, I wanted to get an Arabian, and I wanted him to be on the taller side, which is...
It's already complicated.
Already getting complicated.
Yeah.
And I wanted them to have the movement to be able to do dressage. But I wanted them to be versatile so I could go trail riding and go to the beach, take them to a barrel race, and do all these things.
An Arabian at the barrel races.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So it was a tall order, and I did find an amazing horse.
Yeah. Did you have color ideas or didn't care about that part?
Just no grays.
Just no grays. Okay. Do you remember when you officially found him and what that feeling was like?
Yes, I do. I found him in Point Arena. And we pulled up, and he was grazing just loose out on this woman's property. And he was so pretty. And I think he was only 5 at the time, so he was nice and fit. I knew that that was the one.
He was the one.
Yeah.
Do you remember your first competition with him?
I never competed on him.
You never competed on him. Mm-mm. Okay.
He went lame. Yeah, shortly. I don't know if it was shortly after, but he had an injury, and... his whole life, I call him a lemon because it was one thing after another. And we still did fun stuff, but that's when the Western Saddle came out and he became just like a pleasure horse.
Well, that's a bummer. You finally find your horse. Do you remember that feeling of like knowing that he's essentially gonna retire but still do fun things?
He's 27
now-ish.
And I think he was probably 8 or 9 when it first started. And when it started, I didn't think it was the end. I just kept thinking, oh, it's a tear in the meniscus, so it'll be fine. But then, you know, they cross fire. Then the left front was then having problems. So it was just one thing after another. I kept thinking it would get better. But then eventually my life went on and I was getting married and having kids. And he was at my wedding.
Cute.
But I think I just accepted it at that point.
Yeah. And so after high school, did you go to college?
I did not.
Okay. And was that a conscious decision?
I think so. I didn't know what I wanted to do, so I didn't feel that going to college without an end goal made sense for me. And there was absolutely no way I'd be able to bring my horse financially, and I was not willing to part with him either. So we stayed.
Okay. And so staying, not really showing much... What were you doing with your time?
Well, when I graduated high school, I wanted to figure out what I wanted to do, because that is important.
That is the time to do that.
That is. And when you have board to pay,
yep.
You can't sit around.
Yep.
So I actually remember Googling jobs with horses. Like, what can I do besides a jockey that can pay the bills but have something to do with horses?
Yep.
And I remember looking into body work, and I knew I couldn't be a trainer. I don't have the confidence or the skill. So I ended up finding an ad for SC Barns in the newspaper. And I thought, oh, that might work because they sell barns and have ranch equipment.
Yeah, for people that don't know what that is, it's a local Sonoma County. They do like fencing. Yeah. They do barns. Mm-hmm. They build it and sell it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that is where I went. I went to work there when I was 18. And I worked there up until I had my son.
Okay. So how many years was that?
About 7 or 8.
Okay.
Yeah.
And were you sales? What did you do there?
Yeah. So I did sales and I met so many amazing people, including my husband. It was perfect because I got to work with horse people. I got to go to their properties and help them design their barns, just interact with ranchers every day.
Yeah. Well, and just learn the cost of...
Yeah.
Building a barn or doing the fencing or all of that, I think, is really handy.
Yeah, to know. Sure. It was definitely a great experience.
Yeah. And so it sounds like you ended up starting a family. So when did... I know you're a photographer now.
Yes.
So when did that come into your view?
Yeah. When my son was born, I worked for a year, but kids get really sick when they're in daycare. And I used up all my sick days, and my mom used up all her sick days, and my husband used his, and we were at the point where it was just too stressful to continue to work. So I ended up staying home and then I had my daughter. And when she was about 6 months, I was very stir crazy because I was used to working a lot of hours.
Yeah.
And I love to work. So I then decided to pick up a camera.
How did that come into your view at all?
I think I saw the black background photos online. I don't think they were as popular back then, but, and I was like, that's really cool. I want to learn how to take that. So I got a camera and I watched a bunch of YouTube videos. And when my daughter was napping, I put the monitor on her and I went down to the barn and started trying to take pictures. And it kind of just went from there. You can buy online courses. And eventually I reached out to a photographer who had a brick and mortar store and he offered lessons. So I went up to him and I said, I want to take this type of photo. I didn't want to learn the history of photography. I didn't want to go to school for it.
No theory.
And I didn't want to take, you know, full sun shots. I wanted to take golden hour photos. I wanted the light in the back and I wanted the beautiful look.
You have a, it's similar to buying your first Arab too. Like you have a particular thing that you're following, it sounds like.
Yes, I have found that to be very true. very particular. And when I know there's something that I want to do, I've learned that I need to just stick to that and not get lost on the way. And so he did. He helped me learn. So I learned a ton. And then from there, I just started experimenting with friends and barn mates and getting experience. Growing up in Sonoma County and writing my whole life, essentially, I had plenty of people to ask to pose for me. And then I did get a lot of requests for families and friends and stuff like that. And I did do quite a bit in the beginning. But as time went on, I realized that none of that was exciting or made me happy.
So I was steering away from your original thoughts. Yeah.
Yeah. Going back to the Googling a horse job. So
yeah,
gotta stick with it.
Yeah. Did you recognize that at the time, like in the moment of taking the family portraits or the babies or whatever you were doing, that you were like, oh, this isn't like sparking the normal spark in me?
Yeah. Maybe not so much in the moment, but after there was just no satisfaction with it. And I had no desire to seek more of that business. It's more of the feeling when you're like, oh, you don't want to turn down business. You don't want to turn down money.
Especially starting a new business.
Right.
That's, I feel like a lot of people get trapped in that where like you have this idea, but then you get these offers. It's hard to say no because yeah, you're turning down the money or the networking.
Yeah, exactly.
So how long into your photography business did you feel like you could say no to things like that?
Well, I think I still struggle with it.
Okay.
But I've gotten a lot better, and I learned to only show what you want to attract. So, like, my website was strictly horses.
I feel like a lot of times with businesses, you try something, see if it works, and see if it ignites you, because there might be a branding that's not horse-related, but it was still really, really fun.
Right.
And so there's nothing, in my mind, there's nothing wrong with steering a little bit to see if it's going to work or not. And then you're like, didn't really like that. Let's go over here.
Yeah, so definitely. And pretty much everyone to date that I've done branding for is a horse person. They just also have another business that they want me to capture. And that's kind of how I dip my toes into that.
Yeah, that makes sense. And so what do you feel like in the very early stages, aside from sticking with your original horse Googling, that has been the hardest thing?
I think managing time and trying to balance raising my kids and trying to still be able to ride my own horse and have my own life and not lose myself. And that's why I think having my career be horse related is so huge for me, because it gives me purpose and just brings me so much joy. Like, every time I leave a shoot, I'm just over the moon. You know, I'll call my husband and tell him how excited I am and how I can't wait to get home and look at the pictures. And that's the feeling that I want to make sure I always have. Because if not, I can just stay home with my kids.
Yeah, what's the point if you don't have that?
Yeah.
And so how many years ago did you start this?
So it was 2006. 17 is when I actually decided to have a logo made on Etsy and
start. Yeah. And so what was that process like for you in terms of, like, starting, getting the logo done? And I'm sure you also had to learn kind of, like, editing, and you had to kind of, you know, you had to learn business side of things a little bit. So what was that like?
So I got a logo off Etsy, so that was easy. And then I made a website myself, just trial and error, very simple, and business license, all the things. And I don't think I right away went into insurance and all those things. But later on, I, you know, made sure I did everything.
Well, that takes that one person to be like, do you have insurance? And you're like, no, but should I?
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
Yep. When did it feel like things were just kind of flowing for you?
Honestly, I don't think things started flowing for a couple years. I would always feel like I needed more clients, or I'd be falling back into shooting things that I wasn't passionate about. I wouldn't say until the last couple years, honestly, did I really feel like I had a full plate of clients that I was excited to serve.
What do you think is your biggest strength as a photographer?
I think my biggest strength would be understanding the horses and their connection with the human, and my patience to get the shot and work with a horse that may be excited. And I've really come to notice how much the anxiety my client is feeling transfers to the horse. So a normally very mellow horse, if my client is worried about her makeup or anxious about time, then it totally transfers to the horse and can throw us off. So being able to recognize that and, you know, take the horse from the client, have her take a little walk, take a few breaths, and start over has been a huge blessing. I've learned a lot from many different types of experiences.
Yeah. Is there a specific experience, positive or negative, that was really hard that you came out of and was like, wow, I learned a lot from that?
Yeah, I mean, I think my biggest struggle is timing, because I want to capture the golden light, and locations vary. If there's a mountain, then obviously we lose the sun faster, or depending on how quickly we're running through the poses. I usually am on the flip side where I want to be early, so I'm early to everything, and then I'm uncomfortable standing around. So then I'm like, okay, let's start, and then we're done. Or they're just done, like it's been a lot, and their horse is done. I'm like, wait, we gotta keep going. We've got 30 more minutes before the best light. So having to tell myself to slow down or take a break in between to make sure we make it to the end light is my biggest struggle. And the difficult horse thing, I mean, it comes up fairly frequently, but you're working with horse people, so it doesn't really seem like that big of a deal in the moment. And it's one click of the camera. Even if the horse is dancing around or trying to bite the owner, you're not necessarily going to see that in the photos. Yeah. You can usually get the moment pretty easily.
Is there anything you wish you could tell your early 2017 self that you've learned now?
Just that it's okay to say no to what I don't want to do and just stay the path, and that everything will work out the way it's supposed to.
And so how did photography with the branding come about for you, trying to focus on branding?
I had my first branding client probably 4 years ago now, and she was a portrait client. And she was like, hey, I also have this business. It was a vet. And so we did it, and I was over the moon because it was so fun to get creative and get those tight detail shots and all these different things that you don't necessarily do on a portrait session. So that was the first taste I got. So after that, I started offering it, and since then, it's just really grown.
And let's see, so personal life. So at some point, you got married. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that process.
Yeah, I got married 10 years ago at a barn in a covered arena, and my horse was here. It was perfect. Again, it was one of those things where I was very specific about what I wanted. We had lots of like burlap and lace and wagon wheels. It was very horsey. And I think about 100 people. I got my first house when I was 21. And I told the realtor, I was like, I'm going to be here for 5 years, but then I want to buy property. I want to have my horse at home. So again, one of those things that I was just very clear on what I wanted. I didn't really know how it would look, But I knew that I wanted to be able to see my horse out my window. Mm-hmm. That's been my dream since I was a kid. So I think it might have been 6 years, but eventually we did move. We never planned to move out of Sonoma County, but with property prices, we started to look a little bit further, and we ended up out of the area in Auburn. And I was terrified to move because all my friends, all my family, everybody was here in Sonoma County.
Was your husband also from this area?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we took a chance and we did it, and it was the best decision we've ever made. I, at the time, felt like we were making a huge sacrifice and that it was going to be unbearably hot and we wouldn't know anybody, and, well, we didn't know anybody, but
you get to know people,
yes,
though.
You do, and it's just a great community, and we're so happy that we moved there.
And why did you choose Auburn?
Well, we took a few different trips, and we just drove around and looked at different areas, and we wanted to be a comfortable driving distance to Sonoma County so we could visit family and friends, and we wanted good schools, and then be able to afford property.
Yeah.
So that was the only place that we really connected with.
And what, now that you've lived there for a few years, what do you love about it?
The community, the people. I've never felt so supported in my life.
And is there a lot of horse community out there?
There is, yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
I've been at the same barn since I moved there. My horse, I trailer out for lessons.
So he's home, but then you,
yes,
trailer out.
Uh-huh. Awesome. I can see him from my window.
Cool. And is it mostly dressage people, mostly Western? What's kind of the vibe out there?
Well, there's a little bit of everything. There's a lot of trail, because Tevis is out there.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, so the Tevis. But I still ride dressage.
Do you go trail riding too, though?
I do.
Cool.
Yes, there's a lot of beautiful trails, which is nice.
And now you have a few horses, so...
Well, I have my retired horse, my first horse then, and then Marley is my main man. And then we have a little pony named Goliath. He's
Goliath.
Black and white.
Yes. Yeah.
He's so cute. I've had three people, if he's out front, come down the driveway, open our gate, come all the way to the door, and then ask if they can buy the pony.
Oh, wow.
I know. But I say no, obviously. He's very cute.
Yeah, that's great. What do you feel like your younger self would say to your older self now with what you do have with having the horse in the backyard and this business that you've made?
I think they'd be very proud.
Cool. Let's see. Is there anything else that you didn't talk about that you want to make sure you talk about?
My daughter was very sick. So I think part of the reason I was looking for something to do, photos, work, was my son was the easiest, still is, the easiest kid in the world.
Is he older or younger?
He's older.
Okay.
And I assumed the second child would be like a breeze. You know, you just throw them in a pack and go on with life.
They'll take care of each other.
The second one's supposed to be easier. But that was not the case for us. And she was very hard. She cried a lot. She was sick a lot. She had seizures. She had ear tubes. She had her eye ducts that needed to be cleaned at UCSF. It was just one thing after another. And I felt like there was no way I could work because I always needed to be home, because finding a caregiver for a child that's sick is, and especially going into COVID, nobody wants to get near your sick child.
That, and I feel like just trusting someone to do the right thing when they are sick would be complicated.
Yeah. So 2 years ago now, she just continued to get worse, and then it progressed to like diarrhea and vomiting. Mm. And it was unexplained, and we kept going to the doctor, and they couldn't figure anything out. They did blood tests, stool tests, urine tests, all the tests. And we were on like a 6-month wait to see the specialist, GI specialist. And I was like, I can't wait 6 months. The poor thing is like vomiting uncontrollably.
Yeah, what are you supposed to do? That's a long, even like 2 weeks is a
right?
long time.
Yeah, so I didn't know what to do. But my neighbor is a homeopathic nutritionist, and she was talking to me at the fence, and I was crying hysterically one day, and she very gently told me that I should do a food journal and figure out if there's anything she's eating. She referred us to someone else. So we ended up doing that and figuring out that she had a lot of food allergies.
Ugh.
And believe it or not, we took away egg. And then we did another blood test to test for this to confirm. But We took away egg, dairy, and wheat, and all her symptoms stopped.
That's like all I eat.
I know, right? And yeah. Because at first, I was like, there's no way. We have chickens. She's eaten eggs every day of her life. Like, there's no way.
But she's also been sick most of the
time. Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah.
But apparently, that these things can come on and go. So, it's been 2 years, and she's amazing. She's healthiest one in our family now.
And she still doesn't have those things in her diet, or you've been able to introduce?
We have started to reintroduce some of it, yeah. And haven't had any problem. I actually just picked up a finger prick test. Mm-hmm. I picked it up yesterday, and we're going to retest her just to see where she's at. But yeah, we've been able to reintroduce pretty much everything except for eggs.
Mm, okay. That's interesting. Did you ever have the six... Did you end up doing the six-month doctor visit?
No.
You never ended up going because she got better.
Because yeah. She's 100% better.
Yeah.
Like, her fevers went away. Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the crazy thing with allergies is... They can all of a sudden happen.
Yeah.
And I feel like, especially since COVID, a lot of people's immune systems aren't as good because we were wearing masks for a while or stress or whatever the reason that, yeah, like the body is ever evolving.
Yeah. So I think going back to your original question of my biggest struggle, I think it's being comfortable working and letting go of, she's not sick anymore. So I can make plans and not worry about having to cancel.
Yeah, and I also feel like with kids, at least with our clientele, we know a lot of the same people and horse people just in general we both have as clients, is like most people understand when you have a kid or you get sick or any of that, that like you have to reschedule. Like, or for you, the weather plays a big part of like your photos too. Yeah. It's like if it's downpouring and you have this huge photo shoot, they're not going to want to still take the photos if it's downpouring for the whole time and you're wanting to do, like, they only have an outdoor arena kind of thing.
Then the weather is to blame. I never want to let anyone down. So me canceling someone, in my mind, is letting them down. So that is a big no-no for me.
Yeah.
I think I've only had to cancel one shoot when my horse was actually colicking. Mm. That was a couple years ago. But that... Obviously, they were very understanding, and I'm grateful to have kind horse people clients.
Yeah, that are understanding. I mean, I feel like we all go through things like that where we're like, actually, we need to postpone because I have a horse issue right now.
Yeah, and it's always, once it's done, once you've said it, but it's like the anticipation of, oh my gosh, I have to let this person down, or what are they going to think, or what are they going to say, and then it usually ends up being totally fine.
Do you think that personality trait is nurture or nature?
I would say nurture.
Nurture. Yeah. That it was something that was taught to you?
Maybe. I think it goes along with work ethic. And I've worked since I started writing because I had to work if I wanted to take lessons. So when I was like 10, I get dropped off at 8 o'clock in the morning before my parents went to work. And then in the summer, they just leave me there all day. And I'd clean stalls. They'd have us paint the shelters. Mm-hmm. I mean, hose down the barn. I mean, I literally just worked for 8 hours to take one lesson because I wanted to ride. And I think that's it. You got to work hard for things you want. So showing up, being on time and all that, I think is just part of, I was taught to work.
Yeah. If you were to talk to, and you probably have, young photographers just starting out, whether they're horse photographers or not, what is like your biggest piece of advice for them?
To keep shooting, like keep practicing. And I try and do a shoot every year, at least one, if not two, that's just for me. So I'm not getting paid for it. It's something that I want to capture because I think keeping that spark and that desire to create is how you learn and how you grow. And if you're only shooting when you're paid, then you're not going to have that room for creativity.
So what have been some shoots that you've done just for you?
I did the mounted patrol up in my area.
Cool. I saw those.
Yeah, I really wanted to do it. And I can't remember how I found the connection now, but I did. And I think I'm actually going to shoot them again when the Lupin comes out by me.
Yeah.
But just a great group of people, and it's just so cool what those horses can do.
And they look cool with what they're wearing.
Of course, yes. Like, yeah, the riot gear. I was like, can you please get some riot gear? Because it looks so cool in the picture.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was definitely something I'm passionate about. Just showing the versatility and the softness of a horse and the hardness, I guess, at the same time.
Yeah, totally. The gear that they're holding, but they're still an animal
inside of that. Yeah, little kids can come and touch them at the same time. And it's just so powerful. And yeah, so that was definitely one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's really cool. That I feel like that's really beneficial that you do that for yourself.
Yeah.
And like I said, with the not getting paid for it. Because when you get paid for things, it changes a lot of what you're doing, mm-hmm. right? And timing and this and that, you know.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, I'm here for me right now.
Yeah.
And I feel like as a photographer, once you do your watermark and all of that, the photos that you take for branding or for personal, when those people post and tag you or you have your watermark, it's like free marketing for you as a photographer too, which is interesting.
Yeah. So when you do a shoot like that, you're creating content for yourself to share.
Yeah.
And then you're also giving them photos.
Mm-hmm.
And it just feels good all around. Like, it's a win-win.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, what's the process of, with the watermarks? Is it essentially, you're just putting your logo on a photo?
Yeah, and actually about 2 years ago, I stopped watermarking.
Ah, why is that?
I just didn't feel the need to. I thought it's distracting a little bit on the photo online. So, when I share on Instagram or Facebook, I don't use them anymore. I still have my logo. And I'm sure I use it in some capacity, but I just don't feel the need to do it anymore. I think I've learned a lot in the last 5-6 years of business, and I think just letting go and not worrying. If someone wants to steal my photo, I'm honored. I mean, it doesn't bother me. I try not to let things bother me like that because it's just unnecessary.
Yeah.
I just try and let all the little things go, for sure.
Do you make sure to take photos of your family and your horses often?
I don't, actually. My last family photo was like 2 or 3 years ago.
Mm, okay.
But I did just book a branding session for myself. So that'll be the first that I've ever done.
With another photographer?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because as I do transition into more and more branding, it's important that I do what I tell everyone to do, which mm-hmm. is put yourself in front, which I'm very uncomfortable doing. I think I've maybe shared 4 pictures of myself in 7 years.
Okay.
It's a big step. It's a little scary, but I'm going to get my makeup done and I'm going to do it. So I think it's also important to experience what your clients experience so I can provide a better service moving forward when I do book clients.
That's kind of doing it for you as well.
Again, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
And yes, it's for business, and you have to pay for it this time probably instead of getting paid. But it is for you. And I think that that's really honorable that you're kind of putting yourself in your client's shoes and being like, I'm doing it too.
Yeah.
And being in front of the camera will be interesting for you to see how the photographer that you chose kind of handles your...
For sure. Especially because I am very uncomfortable in front of the camera. So we'll see how she does with me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good to step into that other role sometimes.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, let's go into the question. So what is something within the community that you want to see evolve or change? And then how can you help with that change if you're not already?
So I think just realizing that there is enough business for everybody. And if a client goes with a competitor, then they probably weren't the right client for you to begin with. And that you should just be happy for your friend or this other competitor that they found someone that's right for them. I had a really hard time with that in the beginning when I'd see people use other photographers and I'd have my feelings hurt. But you kind of just have to take the personal side out of it because it is business. And that person wasn't the right client for me. And now that I've been able to accept that and celebrate other photographers, I've joined women's networking groups. I've joined photographer groups. I've gone on retreats. And I've just learned that you can't have that scarcity mindset or else you'll be miserable. And your business won't grow or be positive.
Well, and I feel like kind of what you were saying, where if someone comes to you and they're like, hey, I love your photos. Can you do a family portrait? Having that person to refer out and be like, no, I actually don't do family portraits, but this person does, and I love their photos. Do you want their number?
Yeah.
Like, being able to have a network instead of a scarcity mindset of, like, I have to take this on because if not, they're not going to want to use me anymore.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and that's what I tell people is that there's people that are so good at what you're looking for. You need to go to them.
Yeah. And then lastly, you get to ask me one question.
What is one thing that you want to do with your horse that you have not done yet?
I have not camped overnight somewhere. At some point, it's a bucket list of mine too. And luckily, I have a horse that like has been all over the place and has done everything and is really mellow energy. So I know he'd be fine anywhere doing this. So that is something that I want to do.
Yeah, that's super fun.
Yeah.
I haven't camped with my new horse, but I camped with my original OG.
Where did you go?
And he was horrible.
Oh, no! I was going to ask if you had a good experience.
Yeah, no, my new horse is like a dream. And I don't think I realized, because I was just so enamored by owning my own horse, that I didn't realize how many weird quirks he had. But we went to Point Reyes.
Did you like... even though your horse was kind of rough in the moment, did you like the setup of the camping?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we camped there, and then we went on there used to be Backcountry Horsemen's used to put on a camp that was the most fun I've ever had in my life.
Oh, really?
It was, they don't do it anymore. It was at some ranch, and it was catered, and they had live music.
Ah.
And it was like a 3-day thing, but that was amazing.
Ah, and you take your own horse.
You take your own horse.
That sounds really fun. Yeah. Well, hopefully, maybe someone will come up with
someone
that again.
Someone does need to come up with that again.
That, business idea.
I forgot about that, but that was literally probably the most fun I've ever had.
Ah, cool. Awesome. Well, thank you for chatting with me.
Thank you for having me.
Hello again, and thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode of Stable Connections, the podcast. For the first 2 years, I put out episodes every single Monday. Now, they're going to come out kind of sporadically, sometimes every week, sometimes once a month. But if you listen to an episode and enjoy it, please leave a comment, share it with your friends, share it on your story. And if you have the time, please leave a review on Facebook, Apple Podcast, and Spotify. Thank you so much. See you next time.